Turn with me tonight to our reading this evening. That is in 2 Timothy, the second letter to Timothy, and chapter 4. 2 Timothy and chapter 4, continuing in a series where we have been over the course of this year, although we took a long break, we've been looking at 2 Timothy together, the evenings I've been here with you. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8 of chapter 4, and then the next time we are together and it's me, we will finish off this book and the rest of this chapter. But tonight, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 8, let's read these words. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to look again and at these words and see what the Lord is saying to us tonight. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy and chapter 4, and please do have it open as we work through this passage. The writer Samuel Johnson once wrote, "When a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully." This is the last chapter of the last letter Paul wrote before his death. These last words are to Timothy, the leader of the church in Ephesus, his son in the faith. And Paul writes to him at a time of transition. This is the transition from the apostolic church, the time of the apostles, to the post-apostolic church, to the first generation of Christian leaders after Paul and the other apostles. And Paul now gives Timothy the solemn charge, which is passed on across the generations, specifically to every Christian minister or leader. But also, as we see at the end of verse 8, Paul highlights not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. To an extent, this is to everyone who loves Jesus. Here is the charge. Preach the word. Tonight, in summary, I want to focus on two things. The charge, preach the word. And the motivation, know the time. So first of all then, the charge, preach the word. In my life, the most terrifyingly self-aware moment of solemn expectation, excitement and sheer magnitude of importance was the day I got married. It wasn't so much the fact that we were up at the front with so many people staring at us, which was both nice and awful. It was the weight of the moment itself. Making vows, repeating the words, feeling, this is it, this is life-changing. And the other was the day I was licensed and charged to be a minister. And yet, these things were nothing compared to the weight, the solemnity, the force of these words here that open this chapter. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. The Almighty Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, is watching. God and Jesus are the witnesses. Jesus is the judge who will judge the living and the dead. All people will stand before Jesus to give a final account of who we were and what we did. But for the preacher especially, as the book of James says, that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. With this charge given here comes a higher standard, a greater strictness. And it is a charge. It's not, I encourage you, but I charge you. The stakes can't be higher. In the last passage, they've been encouraged that the word of God is inspired. It's all we need to live a godly life. But now comes the charge that follows that. Preach the word. What is preaching? Preaching in the New Testament is a public declaration of God's word by a commissioned agent that stands in a line of continuity with the prophets of old and the apostles in the time of the New Testament. Across the history of the church, every generation has been called and encouraged to come and gather together to hear the word preached. And the word Paul uses here is different, and it's distinct from general evangelism or leading a Bible study or leading a discussion or even one-to-one discipleship. They're connected, and in the layers of application, they are here, but in the pointed, sharp edge of this charge, the word means to make proclamation as a herald. What are we proclaiming? It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And preaching isn't just talking about Jesus. Romans 10 tells us that the word of Christ preached is not only a word about Christ, it is a word from Christ. When we preach the word of the Bible, we preach Jesus' words. No wonder we're held to a higher standard. No wonder we're judged with a greater strictness. These are the words from Christ to you. And why? Why do we preach? Why do we need to hear preaching? Because I need to hear Jesus. And you need to hear Jesus. We want to hear what he says. We want to hear the words of God. And these words are the words that save and sanctify. You don't need to hear me as such. I don't need to hear me. It's not about me. We need to hear Jesus. The preacher speaks. You listen. But on a supernatural level, the Spirit of Jesus Christ works with the word of God and speaks to your heart, your soul, and your mind. Preaching is Christ the shepherd speaking to you. And this proclamation is how Jesus rules his church. Preaching is the way that Jesus leads and shepherds and cares and protects and feeds and calls and disciples and disciplines and strengthens and encourages his people. Preaching is the catalyst for others to go and spread the gospel in other contexts. Preaching is how Jesus equips his church, and preaching is how Jesus calls people to faith in Jesus. That's why we preach the Bible the way we do normally. We usually preach through God's words, God's word as books, because that's how God inspired it, and he gave it to us as books. And we want you to listen with open Bibles so that you can read it too. God sets the agenda, not the preacher. And the entire Bible is to be preached. No truth should be left untaught. No sin unexposed. No grace unoffered. No promise undelivered. But why has Jesus chosen to use a preacher at all? Wouldn't it make sense to remove the preacher altogether? Maybe you dislike the way that we move in the pulpit up on a stage. Maybe you find it strange how loud and weirdly quiet I can get. Maybe you got personal beef with your minister. Maybe you get distracted by accents and overly used phrases. Maybe you're just very aware of the general sinfulness of the man in front of you preaching. And yet, God's chosen method is an ordinary preacher in a local church. Paul's charge was to Timothy here in Ephesus, because God chooses to speak his word through the life of a person, himself forgiven and transformed by Jesus. The preacher isn't your savior. The preacher is a man forgiven and transformed by Jesus himself. The people knew Timothy. They knew his sins. They knew his flaws. They knew areas of his life where they would be disappointed with him. But it meant that they could also see that the word that every week he held out to them had held him first. Every week when we're preparing, we preach God's word to ourselves before we preach it to you. Yes, online recordings, online services from anywhere in the world, podcasts, conferences, books, CDs, DVDs, tapes, these things exist, and God can and God does greatly use these things. And right now, maybe more than ever. But his chosen normality is a Timothy living in a local church, preaching to a people he knows. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls under shepherds to live among his flock, to preach and to care for the flock, preachers who know the flock and the flock know him. And so here is the charge to the preacher, commissioned with the authority of the church: preach the word. And then it says, be prepared in season and out of season. I do love the seasons of the year. I think I maybe like spring the most because it's not too warm and there aren't spiders all over my house trying to get in for warmth. I like the summer too, obviously, especially how long it's light outside, although I usually can't handle too much heat. I do like autumn, apart from the aforementioned spiders that are trying to get into the house from the cold. I love that pumpkin spice lattes are back in Starbucks. And I'm not particularly looking forward to this winter, if I'm honest. It makes me feel a bit flat and apathetic just thinking about the long months ahead. We go through seasons. We have different feelings about the seasons. We might be looking forward to some seasons. We might not be looking forward to others. But with the gospel, it doesn't matter what season it is. It doesn't matter if the timing is convenient or inconvenient. The gospel of Jesus Christ is always in season. It doesn't matter what our culture thinks. It doesn't matter if church feels inconvenient right now and you just feel busy and distracted and you just want to stay at home and lie in bed and sleep in and it just, Or maybe the word of God to you is an inconvenient truth. We're still called, us as preachers and people spreading the word of God, we're still called to do the same thing, preach the word. And be prepared to do that in season and out of season. When you're prepared and when you're not so prepared. When you're ready and when you're not so ready, be ready. And even here, in this passage that is directed specifically to ministers like Timothy, when you read a passage like this, are you hearing Jesus speak to you? Don't switch off. Don't switch off thinking this doesn't apply to me. This is about Christians, or even more than that, this is about ministers. This is about people who do this full time. It's not about me. It's not for me. Well, right here in this passage, he is the Christ, and he is speaking to you. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Here, in this passage, is the one who will judge the living and the dead. He is God. He is the judge. And that begs, even that little note alone at the very start of this charge to the minister, are you hearing that the judge is in front of you? The judge is here. And it begs the most important question of all. Are you on the right side of Jesus Christ? Do you trust him? How will he judge you in your life and in your death? Is your sin and guilt covered and paid for by his death on the cross? And at the end, on that day, looking at verse 8, on that day when you see the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will he award you a crown of righteousness because you trusted in him and you followed him? Or will he say to us, I never knew you. Away from me. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus calling you. Even in a passage that you think isn't directly for you, he's here. He's the judge. He's the Savior at the end. You will see. What will he say to you? What will he say to me? Call out to him to save you. Well, if that's the charge, preach the word. Paul goes on and he gives the motivation. Know the time. That's the charge given to Timothy, preach the word. And any who are called by Jesus and called by his church to preach his word. But the charge filters down to the whole church too, in all the different ways that we are called to hold out God's word. So while not everyone is charged to preach this style of public proclamation like this, there are all kinds of different ministries of the word. We are all evangelists. We are all called to disciple. We should all study God's word together in our families and with our friends. And so these words still apply. Always be prepared to share the gospel. Be patient and careful. Speak truth to one another in love. But for all of us, what motivation does Paul give the preacher to preach and the rest of us to reach out with God's word? Well, notice in the passage, verse 1 to 8, that there is a repeated theme of time. And so here's the first motivation. Preach the word because there will be times of rejection. Verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul is telling Timothy, preach the words of Jesus and keep on preaching, because people will reject it. And instead, they'll go off and just listen to what they want to hear. Some people will just reject it outright. Some will call themselves Christians, and yet they find the words of the Bible to be outdated and difficult and intolerable. Some will chase after the next new thing to scratch the itches that they have. They'll just scratch away at the things that they like. They'll be chasing after new perspectives, new voices. God will give me a good life now. Scratch, scratch, my best life now. Scratch, scratch. Timothy, Paul is saying, when the time comes that people will walk away to scratch their itches, preach the word. Stick to the words of Jesus Christ. And every one of us, as we try to reach our friends and family, it's helpful to know now that people will reject our invitation so that we don't give up. Preach the word in times of rejection. Here's the second motivation that Paul gives Timothy and to us. Preach the word because there will be times of suffering. Verse 5 and 6. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Paul is near the end. And it's the picture of a drink being poured out on an altar. Normally, it sounds like a good thing when you pour someone a drink, but that's not what this is saying. It's not positive at all in that regard. It's sacrificial language. He is being poured out. He's on death row, soon to be executed by Emperor Nero. He's in life's departure lounge. He's done his job. And now it's time for Timothy to do his. He's endured. And now he's passing on the charge and the torch of public proclamation to the next generation of preachers. Timothy, you're going to have to endure hardship. And you're going to keep on doing the work of an evangelist, spreading the gospel, teaching it, preaching it. You're going to be discharging all the different duties of his ministry. Timothy, you've got to preach the words of Jesus. You've got to preach the word during the times of suffering. Because only those words of Jesus, the righteous judge, who judges the living and the dead, give us the hope of justice, the hope of eternity, the hope of life everlasting, the hope of life, and the hope over death. And so he calls on Timothy and us to preach and to reach during these times of suffering. Now, in keeping his head, as it says there, Timothy was to be sober and cool in all circumstances, just like a commercial pilot must be in an emergency when the passengers are crying out with fear. Keep your head. Even when you're struggling, Timothy, even when things are going crazy and falling apart around you, when Christians are falling out with each other, when the people of God aren't living like the people of God, when we are apathetic and ignoring the words of Christ, keep on preaching the words of Jesus, the word, the word, the word. Hold on and hold out the words of Jesus. Let his words, let those words be our stability when the world is upside down. And for any of you, there will be times in your life when you're so tired, when you're done in. The world is spinning around you. The waves are crashing over you. Ministers, parents and people and evangelists right around the world trying to live for God, trying to reach people for God, trying to hold things together. And the world is crashing all over us. Hear these words. Preach the word. Or in whatever way you can, hold out the word of Jesus Christ. Reach the lost. Keep your head. Remember whose word you are preaching. The words of Jesus, the righteous judge, who will judge the living and the dead, who controls the whole universe. Endure hardship. Who endured the hardship before you? Jesus himself. The one whose footsteps we follow in this walk of suffering and hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Again, we follow the example of Jesus. And discharge the duties of your ministry. Jesus did everything he did for the sake of seeking and saving the lost. These are great words for us to remember when we are tired, especially to the minister, to the preacher, to the evangelist. Keep your head. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge your duty. And the final motivation that Paul gives Timothy and to us is preach the word because the end will come. For Paul, he's at the end point. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We get the picture of a fight and a long athletics race. We are in a long, hard fight. A long, hard race. We've taken the hits. Our muscles are feeling the burn. And it meant suffering. And Paul kept going, proclaiming the gospel. He preached the word. He held out the word. Maybe there are times when you really are in the fight and your muscles of faith are feeling the burn. You've hit the runner's wall. You're sweating. You're struggling. It's amazing how many times Christians stumble and fall, even when they get older. We see it in Scripture again and again. We see it in real life. Older Christians who have been running the race for so long. But the race doesn't magically get easier as you get older. Sometimes the muscles of faith start to burn and start to strain, and the cramp sets in. The stitches start to really affect you. You get distracted. You're stumbling. For many, it gets harder. But keep going. Keep running. Keep fighting. Keep the faith. Trust in Jesus, because one day it will end. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach it. That's your charge. Preach it, preacher. Preach it and reach out to your friends and family. Reach this whole world, brothers and sisters, because one day this world will end. Resurrection Day is coming. It hasn't happened yet, but one day, and on that day, the King will appear. And we will see him, the righteous judge. We will see Jesus. Paul ran to the end, heart beating, lungs busting. And he looks up, and there he sees at the finish line. He can barely lift up his arms. He's so tired. And he crosses the line, and he did it because of what's on the other side of that line. He's going to win the crown of righteousness from the hands of Jesus, the royal judge himself. You watch the Olympics, and the joy and the victory of the runners as they cross that line, the euphoria, the glory, the win, the medal ceremony, the anthem ringing. But this will be better. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, friends. Because life, immortality, the crown of righteousness, eternal glory, that's what will be awarded to you. Know the time that you're in. Know that there will be times of rejection. Know that there will be hardships and suffering. Know that the end, the time of ending is coming. So do your duty. Discharge the duties of the ministry. Do and fulfill your calling. Preach the word. Reach out with the word to those who need to hear it. And look forward with joy. The end awaits us all, but what will you see at the end? Please turn to Jesus. Please trust in Jesus. Please follow Jesus. Please fight the good fight. Please run the race for Jesus. Please keep the faith in Jesus. Because on that day, we will see Jesus. He's the one handing out the crowns. It's reserved for you. You bow your head. He says your name. He says, well done. And he places it on your head. And everyone who has loved him will receive one. Everyone who has longed for his return. Not just the minister, everyone, not just the preacher, all of you who run the race, reaching out with the word of God to the whole world. Keep the faith, because everyone who has longed for his return will receive the crown. Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, any of you even listening tonight, and you hear the voice of Jesus charging you with this solemn charge as once I heard, as once many across the centuries have heard. Maybe tonight it is you who hears the voice in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, in the view of the end, in the view of when he comes, in the view of his kingdom, I charge you, preach the word. Any of you who would be leaders, any of you who would reach out like evangelists to your friends and family, reach out with the word. Fight the good fight. Run the race. Keep the faith. And you'll see Jesus. You'll get the crown. And none of the rejection, none of the suffering, not the burning muscles at the end, will in any way take away from the joy and the glory and the wonder of that crown of righteousness given to you from Jesus himself. Amen.